Amen, amen, amen. Thank you for that prayer, Elder Hodge. And again, if you are listening to me and you do have any type of announcements that you would like to get out, again, you can send those to info@triumphlife.org. I want to thank you for tuning in this morning, and that is this week's announcements. Have a great week.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Hodge, for your for doing the announcement so eloquently this morning. Amen. We're going to go ahead and get to what we came for. But before we do that, I do just want to iterate for Tizzo. Why for Tizzo? For Tizzo means enlightenment, to bring to light. Amen. From enlightening from the inside. Yes, yes. So we want to continue to make sure that we can make sure everybody, or all of our youth, that we can help enlighten, showing them a new atmosphere, showing them a new environment, showing them a new opportunity that they may be able to have a new way of looking at life and make different decisions. You know, sometimes we get caught in our environment and our communities and we feel that's all that's available to us. But the world is so large and so big. And I was grateful to be able to get beyond my community, and it helped me make different decisions in my life. And I believe that we should give all of our youth that opportunity. And that's the point of FOTIZO. Project FOTIZO is to get the youth in communities, in a different community, a different environment, so they can see and make decisions on their life to grow their life and be in a different place. So we just thank God. We thank God for that opportunity. We have already started, and we have enough to get going, and we're going to continue going and growing. And we will, in March, we're going to see that thing come to fruition. Is already done. So we just wanted to highlight that at this moment. Now we're going to get to our word, the word of God. Amen. We got a young man. You already know him, and you've seen him, you've heard him, and he's blessed you before, and he's going to bless us again on this Sunday morning. Our own minister, Jediah Miller. Amen. We're going to give it over to him and allow him to give us what thus saith the Lord and encourage us in the word of God. Amen. At this time, at this moment, here's our own minister, Jediah Miller. Amen. Minister Miller.
Good morning. I don't know if everybody can hear me. Good morning. I'd like to start by saying I give honor to Christ, who is the head of my life. I give honor to my pastor, Bishop Miller. I give honor to Elder Hodge. And give honor to this platform and Triumph Life. And we give honor to everyone that's watching via Facebook, YouTube, or the website, wherever you may be. And we want to start off with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding. For there is none like you. You created heaven, earth, and everything that there is. You are existence. And because of you, we are. Because you are the great I am that I am. And because of you, we tell you thank you.
Yes, yes.
God, touch this word. Touch my mouth. Let no flesh be revealed. God, that your people may receive it with gladness, and it may spring up and bring forth much fruit. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
We're going to start off by reading Matthew, the 14th chapter, and we're going to start off at the 22nd verse. And it reads, "And immediately Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and and to go before him to the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went to them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Be of good cheer. It is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be you, bid me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said to him, "O you of little faith, wherefore did you doubt?" Amen. I want to marry the application that we just read in Matthew to the prescription given later by the Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, where he says, "For we walk by faith and not by sight." I'm going to say that again. "For we walk by faith and not by sight." So how is it that we receive this faith whereby which we walk? Romans 10 and 17 says, "So then, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." Whether we know it or not, we are on a faith walk. Our entire life consists of a walk of faith. We need faith to live, faith to breathe, faith to walk, faith to get in our cars and go to work. Our entire life is based on a walk of faith. The Bible says that Abraham was the father of faith and that he walked with God. Come on, tell somebody, say, "I'm on a faith walk." Living on, trusting on, and believing on God's word. I would like for us to consider the fact that there was nothing there for Peter to stand on or for Peter to walk on between him and Jesus but water. But water has no structural integrity. Has anybody ever really had to step out on nothing but God's word? And today I want us to consider that. So I want to center our focus with the title, "Walking on a Word." Walking on a Word. Many describe this event simply as Peter walking on water. But I believe that Peter was walking on something that had greater structural integrity than just water. I believe that Peter was walking on a command. And in fact, I believe that Peter was walking on a word. Peter is one that we often credit with great bravery. He's one that we often credit with great strength and great fortitude. But this was not an act of bravery, strength, nor fortitude. "For it is not by power nor by might, but my spirit, saith the Lord." But what took place in the midst of the sea between Jesus and Peter was purely an act of faith. How do we know? The Bible says, "For we walk by faith." Then the scripture, and I like scripture because scripture can always back up scripture. Scripture can always reference scripture. The scripture says that faith comes. So if it says we walk by faith, and then in Romans it says, the scripture says that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. Peter obtained the faith to walk on water, a substance not made for walking because of what he heard. Somebody say, "I need to hear, I need to hear." And what he heard was a word. In fact, it was just one word, and the word was "come." At that point, it wasn't just an answer to Peter's request, but it became a command. We'll get to that later. Sometimes all you need from the Lord is one word. Sometimes all you need is one word from the right source. One word can change your life. Sometimes it don't have to be a sermon series to change your life. Sometimes it doesn't have to be an ongoing Bible class to change your life. Sometimes it's just one word. The centurion soldier say, just speak a word and it'll hit my house. You don't even have to go. It'll hit my house. Come on, somebody tell God, thank you. And I believe that we can learn something here because Peter did not act off impulse. He didn't just jump off the boat on impulse. It was not impulsive because he made a request. And he did not move until he heard something. Tell somebody, you got to hear something. With everything that's going on in the world today, it's easy for us to become impulsive as a response or a protective measure to what's going on around us. And God knows there's a lot going on around us today. It's easy for us to become solely reactive and as a result become ineffective. We don't react to the world, but we react to what God has spoken. Because what comes out of God's mouth already has purpose, intention, strategy in it. But we have to be very sure that God has ordained and authorized our next move. Peter made a request and waited on the response. We can't just ask God for direction when we have no intention on waiting for his response and approval. And it's not only important that we hear, but what's also just as important as the word says hearing, but hearing from the word of God, is who we hear from. Peter did not ask the other guys on the ship, could he go out on the water? But Peter directed it towards Jesus. So our faith is not only tied to what we hear, but who we hear from. So sometimes we get so comfortable and familiar with the words of our colleagues and the words of the people around us that we forget to go to the word and see what God is saying. We have to make sure that the source is a reliable one, because people will get you out there in the water, and when you start to drown, you don't have no Jesus to say, Lord, save me. But how many know the song say he was there all the time? Come on, tell God, thank you. So Peter acted off the word of one who could reach out and pick him up when he fell along the way. We can't afford to act and jump off just any and everything we hear. Many people lost their life savings investing in a stock from the word of a stockbroker. But you got to know what God is saying in the moment. So let me slow down. So not only does Peter receive a word that supplies him with the faith to do what God has instructed him to do, but we have to look at the type of word that Peter received. Peter receives what I call, or what we call, a rhema word. He receives a word from the word. He receives a word from the word with a capital W. You got to check the sources. So a rhema word is when you're looking at the scripture and you receive a word from the written word. But there was no Bible present where so where was the scripture? Peter didn't have to go and search through scripture to receive his word, because the scripture was standing in front of him. All right, let's go to the scripture. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And if we jump down in verse 14, it says, and the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. God was with Peter. Peter got a word from the word. Tell somebody, say, I need a word from the word. And all you got to do to get a word from the word is pick up your Bible. When you pick up the scripture and the word comes at you and gives you a revelation, you have received a word from the word. It's when God, the Holy Spirit, highlights scripture and gives you a revelation about your situation, or gives you a revelation of what to say to his people, you've gotten a word from the word. So Peter receives a rhema word. So Peter receives a word from the word, and it wasn't a lengthy word. It was just one word. And the word said, come. And within that one word was purpose, intent, and strategy. What was the purpose? For it to be written and recorded as a great demonstration of faith for us to live and walk by today. For us to read about today, for us to talk about today. Peter's fall was already incorporated in the word come. Peter's sinking was already incorporated in the word come. God, who knows all things, already knew he would have to pick Peter up. Your fall was incorporated in his call. He sets the end from the beginning. No. He don't set the end from the beginning. That means he sets the end at the beginning. At the beginning, the end was already set. At the beginning, the end was already set. At Genesis, Revelation was already done. Behold the Lamb of God who was slain before the foundation of the earth. So, if the prophet didn't prophesy to you and give you a word at the revival, pick up your word and get a word from the word for your next move. So Peter receives his rhema word that causes him to step out on nothing but faith. He wasn't, and I want to say this, Peter wasn't testing the waters, because the water supplied no structural form, no structural format for him to stand on. But Peter was testing simply God's word. And it wasn't something unfamiliar to Peter to test God's word. You remember when he tested it before. Jesus said, launch out into the deep. And after he had been fishing all night and all day long with no results, but as soon as he acted on God's word, it produced in his life. Sometimes in it, see, there's nothing like a fresh word. You've been doing it all yourself. You've been doing it all your life. You've been doing it on your own. But a fresh word will change your life. Tell somebody, I need a fresh word. I need a fresh word. I need a fresh word. So after you've done all you know how to do, the fresh word will come and change your life. Abraham received the fresh word. God said, take your only son and kill him and take him to the mountain and slay him on my behalf. But Abraham received a fresh word. Abraham, steal your hand. Don't kill the boy. Don't touch the boy. If he didn't get a fresh word, he would have killed his son. Tell somebody, I need a fresh word. I need a fresh word. So Peter receives the word, which is now a command, because he did not say, Peter say, Lord, bid me to come. Jesus says, come. He doesn't say, please come. I would like you to come. Can you come? Jesus said, come. The word come now is a command. So now Peter has to act on what God said. So Peter steps out of the boat. His feet leave the security of the floorboards on the ship. And he steps out onto the word. Taking a step. And we got to look at this carefully, because taking a step is one thing, but taking a walk is another thing. Let me explain. Because, see, a step is a moment and a decision in a small, brief portion of time. But a walk is representative of a journey and a commitment. See, a step is a decision in a moment, but a walk is a journey and a commitment. A step is a decision in the moment, and a walk is a journey and a commitment. And you got to be committed to keeping God's word along the journey. Earlier I said that this life is a faith walk, and you got to be committed from the beginning to the end. Paul said that the race is not given to the swift or the strong, but the race is given to the one who endureth to the end. The race is not given to the one that's running, but the race is given to the one who can walk all the way to the end. Tell somebody, I'm going all the way. So he leaves the security of the floorboards on the ship, and he steps out on the water. And notice that the Bible didn't show that he had a problem with stepping out the ship. See, because sometimes we get excited over a word without commitment to it. Sometimes we cry over a word with no commitment to it. Sometimes we run around the church over a word with no intent to carry it out fully. The scripture doesn't record an issue with him stepping out of the boat. It doesn't record an issue with his first few steps. But somewhere along the way, he violated the principle that we read in 2 Corinthians 5 and 7, where it says, "For we walk by faith." This whole walk, as short as it may have been, was an entire faith walk. For we walk by faith. How is it? How is faith obtained for how we walk? Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So at some point, he forgot what he had heard and who he heard it from, and began to let his sight become his guide. The rhema word was under him, the word come, and the written word was in front of him, Jesus. The word made flesh. He had the rhema word under him and the written word in front of him. From the time he stepped out to the time he began to walk, the word was always with him. Jesus was at a distance, but his word was with Peter. Even when God seems far from you, you can pick up this word and get a word from the word. Even when it seems like you can't find Jesus, even when it seems like you can't find God, even when it seems like you can't reach out and touch God, his word is with you. He say, "I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you." And even when Jesus walked off the scene, he say, "I won't leave you lonely. I'm sending a comforter. I'm sending the Holy Spirit." So tell somebody, he was there all the time. He was there all the time. So his word is always near to you. So the only thing that changed around Peter, and I don't want to get too far up there. The only thing that changed around Peter between the time that he stepped off the boat until the time he reached Jesus is what he decided to give attention to. You got to be stingy with your attention sometimes. You got to monitor what you allow your attention to wander off to. You got to monitor what you allow into your ear gate and your eye gate. So the scripture says that when Peter saw that the wind was boisterous, let's read that again. When Peter saw, he started the faith walk by what he heard. And somewhere along the way, he started leaning towards what he saw. It's not going to look like what God said all the time. Your situation and the surroundings and what surrounds you is not always going to look like what God said. But the Bible says that Peter saw that the wind was boisterous. What changed? The scripture says, so if we look back in the scripture says, prior to him leaving the ship, the wind was already boisterous. The Bible says that the wind was already going, let's look at the scripture. The Bible calls it contrary. The Bible says that the wind was already contrary. So the difference, the only difference is not that the wind started blowing, not that the wind became boisterous, but the fact that he decided to pay attention to what was around him than paying attention to the word that was spoken to him and the word that was in front of him. Tell somebody, I got to pay attention to the word. So the scripture says, so because he saw the word made flesh, the scripture, and forgot about what was going on around him when he first was on the boat, he forgot about the wind when he was first on the boat because he asked Jesus, "Bid me to come." Because he was, at that point, he was focused on Jesus. At that point, he was focused on the word. But somewhere along in the walk, he started to focus on his circumstance. So, so after he started to focus on his circumstances, the Bible says that he begins to drown. And he called out to the only thing that he knew, which was Jesus. "Lord, save me." And Jesus, right there with an outstretched hand, began to save him and picked him up. But Jesus' comment to him was, "O ye of little faith, why did you doubt?" It wasn't the water. Jesus didn't say nothing about the wind. He talked to Peter. "Oh, ye of little faith." Sometimes we use everything as an excuse. We use our circumstances. We use our situations. We use the people on our job. We use our educational background. We use our mother, our father, people who hurt us in the past. But Jesus ain't say nothing about none of that. Jesus say, "Oh ye of little faith, why did you doubt? You had me in front of you, and you had my word holding you up. Why did you doubt?" And I want to close today, but I want to leave you with this. That just because God called you doesn't mean that everything is going to be peaceful and smooth. What was between Peter and Jesus was the word and a testing ground to see if he can keep that word through the test. What was between Egypt and the promised land was the wilderness, a testing ground. In Egypt, they had flesh pots. They say, should we go back to Egypt where we sat by the flesh pots? But what was in the wilderness was manna. But what they didn't like about manna, that manna came with instruction. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Your test has less to do with your test than it has to do with you following God's word and keeping his commandments. Pray my strength in the Lord.
Amen, 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 amen. I like that. I like that. I like how you expound on that, my brother. Amen. It was a beautiful message on this morning to help us to, amen, to retain our focus on God's word, to stay focused on God's word. And you know, and Peter, you know, there were some other folks in the boat. There were some other disciples in the boat, but Peter was the one that took that step. Amen. And as long as he, like you said, what he heard, he went on what heard. And Jesus said, come, that word. Amen. Come. He stepped out. But then he got out there and he started looking at what he see. And sometimes we allow what we see to disturb what we heard. I like that. I like that. Yeah, yeah, yeah. So we have to continue walking in that faith that God has called us to walk into. Amen. And not look at what we see. It may look like. It may look like, that's all it is look like fear, but appearing real, false evidence appearing real. Yeah. Fear, false evidence of appearing real. And that's technically what fear is. You know, we, a lot of times fear is here. There's more fear here. And it's based, just like he was sharing with us, because of what we see, we allow what we see to create fear. And if we can just faith walk on the word, we don't even have to worry about it. We just walk on the word. You know, yeah, you might see one thing, but just walk on the word. Yeah, it may look like, but just walk on the word. It's kind of ugly, but walk on the word, you know, just walk on it. And I like that today. If you're listening to the message on today and it's touched your heart, touched your mind, and it given you a new thought and a new outlook on life, and you understand that you must be in a place that you can hear the word of God and be able to walk on that word. And the preacher said it so eloquently, we walk by faith and not by sight. So if you're in that place where you want to walk by faith and not by sight, we want to open up an opportunity for you at this moment to come and worship and relationship, have a relationship with God. And we ask that you just pray this prayer with us. Amen. Father, forgive me, for I have sinned. I believe that you are human yet divine. You were born of a Virgin Mary. I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe that you got up on the third day with all power in your hands. I believe that you're sitting on the right-hand side of the Father making intercession for me. Father, save me. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you prayed that prayer with me, the Bible declares if you confess it with your mouth and believe it in your heart that you are saved. And I believe that if you confess it in your mouth and you truly believe it in your heart that you're saved. And I believe that if you continue walking in his grace, that he will grow you and he will give you that faith walk, that you can walk on his word. When trials and tribulations come up, when turmoil and trying times come up, when dilemmas and drastic moments come up, amen. When you're in dire situations, you can walk on his word. And I'm a living witness of that. You just need to continue to grow in his grace. So we just want to pray with you that you continue to be touched by him. Amen. Amen. At this time, we're going to give it back over to our minister on this morning, Minister Jedediah Miller, who eloquently gave us an encouraging word to continue to walk on the word of God and to walk in his faith. And we're going to give it back to him for our final prayer and our benediction. Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for your grace, your mercy, your wisdom, your knowledge, your understanding. For there is none like you. We thank you for the ones who accepted the call to salvation today.
Yes.
And the ones who will accept. For you have the power to save, heal, deliver, and set free.
Yes.
Lord, let the word take root in the hearts of your people and spring up and to bring much fruit. And we tell you thank you. Lord, carry them out through this week. And then until the next time we meet, we tell you thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
What I say unto...
Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
What I say unto one, I say unto all. Watch as well as pray.
Amen. Amen. We thank God. We thank God. We thank God for the message. We thank God for each and every one that shared with us today. And we pray that God continue to bless you all until next week. Amen.
Can you give our miracle worker a hand tonight? Oh, come on, listen. I said the miracle worker. If you